It's always so good to be in the house of the Lord. And for those who weren't here earlier, we did have a little bit of an excitement, probably too much excitement for us with all those fire engines. But God is good. He has a way of just taking what we consider to be bad and just turning it around for our good. And I'm so amazed by Him each and every time, because the way He put things together. This morning in the Sunday school, we're talking about one of the attributes of God, and that God is all-knowing. He knows everything about each and every one of us. And then in the Sunday morning service, Brother Josh spoke on another attribute that he has, which is the attribute of truth. And this evening, we again will be speaking about another attribute of God, which is His goodness. But the amazing thing, if you notice, you have some handouts there which have verses that I'll be referring to this evening. But I notice a similarity in the three events that have taken place and that is about to take place. And that is that verse in Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I said, Lord, how did you stitch all of those, that verse, and make it come out in three different occasions today? It came out in our Sunday school. Brother Josh referred to it, and I am going to refer to it this evening. That's just how God's work. And the thing that comes to mind is that probably at this very moment, there might be someone here, someone on the live stream, that have a burden. This is not what I've prepared. But I think it's very noteworthy to just mention that if you do have a burden, if you are heavy laden, if you have an issue, you can take it to the Lord. And this verse is not only for saved people, it's for sinners. If you are burdened with sin, you can take it to the Lord. And He will give you what we all desire, that is rest. So before I start, let us go to the Lord in prayer, and let us bow our heads. My Lord and my God, how wonderful are your ways in all the earth. You're a God whose attributes are unchanging. In this world of shifting truths and changing allegiance, we are so thankful that you are the unchanging God. We come to you this evening with a yielding, surrendered heart and with an hand of faith that is just simply hoping to receive the wonderful promises that are stored in your words. Fill me, dear Lord God, with your Holy Spirit. As He speaks through me, let your words from my lips find fertile ground in the hearts and mind of all that hear my voice. Let all hearts be surrendered to you, our most majestic and awesome God, and use this occasion to draw all men to you, especially those that are seeking the truth, finding that in Christ Jesus, they will find a path to you, for you are the way. They will find the truth that they seek, for you are truth. And they will find eternal life because you are life. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'd like to speak on the subject of the goodness of God this evening. One of the attributes of God, His very essence, is His goodness. God by nature is inherently good. And Jesus tells us in Mark 10:18, there is none good but one, that is God. The psalmist invites us in Psalms 34, verse 8. He tells us, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." God is the very foundation of goodness and everything that is good. He did not obtain this attribute from another source. And he is not like us, like people. People can have good attributes, or we can do good deeds. But we are not continually good. It's not in our natural nature. Our goodness comes from God. Thank God that we do not have to strive in our own strength to love and to do good for the purpose of just simply ticking off some religious requirement. God says you must do good, so let me do good and just tick it off. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 5, verse 5, that God's love has been poured into our hearts. And it is with this same love that we can love others and do good to each other. To prove the point, and I'm referring now to saints, let us consider our goodness before we were saved and after we were saved, and when the Spirit of Christ came to live in us. Would you say that He has made a change in us so that as we live each day, we exercise more goodness to others? Not in an insignificant way, but in a meaningful and significant way. We do not do this with the intention of bringing attention to ourselves, but for God's glory. Matthew 5, verse 16 commands us, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We strive for goodness because we want to be a delight to our Heavenly Father, who supplies us with the will to do His goodness. We know that in Philippians 2, verse 13, it tells us, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." It is because of His desire for our good that He has provided salvation through His Son. Everyone can have a sense of goodness in them, and even the desire to do good. But true goodness comes from the one who is perfectly good and wants good things for all people. Our goal as Christians each day should be to show the goodness of God to each other every day. Sometimes we need to step out of our man-made habitat. We are so used to these walls and these concrete structures that we need to step out and experience the goodness of God, which is evident in all His creation, which is all around us, and in His accomplishment. We are reminded in Genesis 1, verse 31, which tells us, "And God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was very good." His providential goodness is available to all, regardless of our station in life, even though we are not really worthy of it when we really think about it. But yet, His words tell us in Matthew 5, verse 45, "He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." Everything God does is for our good. We can see proof of the goodness of God all around us in the life-sustaining provisions He supplies us, from crops that provide our food to the very air that we breathe, which we take for granted. The Lord reveals His goodness in His benevolence to His creation. And God's benevolence is the kindness the Lord bestows on all people. The Lord's goodness is probably one of the most frequently mentioned divine attributes in Scripture. But it is also one that is all too often misunderstood. God will never exercise his goodness in a way that will cause him to set aside his other attribute, which is his holiness and his justice. His divine goodness is closely connected to divine justice. Goodness detests evil. So punishing evil is intrinsic to what it means for God to be good and just. Even in his love for us, God must judge sin. He does not love sinners without dealing with their sin. And if we are in Christ, thank God, our sins have been dealt with in our Savior's atonement. We have all sinned and deserve God's judgment. But God demonstrated his greatest goodness by making a way by which our sins can be forgiven and our fellowship with him restored. All we must do to be forgiven of our sins is to admit that we are sinners in need of God's forgiving mercy. God, the Father, sent his only Son to satisfy that judgment for those who believe in him. Jesus, the Creator and Eternal Son of God, who lived a sinless life, loves us so much that he died for our sins, taking the punishment that we deserve. He was buried and rose from the dead. And in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, it tells us that who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. God's mercy flows from his goodness. This mercy is only available by us putting our trust and faith in Jesus. This requires us to truly believe and trust in our heart, receiving Jesus alone as our Savior, being remorseful and repentant of our sins, deciding that a changed life which is lived for Christ is our desire. Some might say that a changed life is a daunting and very difficult task to do. But here again, we see the goodness of God, in that he recognizes that if we were to change ourselves, change our sinful lifestyle in our own power, that it would be an impossible task for us. So, this is what he has done. For everyone who seeks the Lord, who wants to live a godly life, by putting their faith in Jesus and forsaking sin, he has given us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, to enable us, to guide us, to counsel us, and to empower us to turn away from sin. Some people sometimes question the goodness of God. The question is usually asked, why would a good God allow, and you can fill in the blank, such and such to happen? You have all heard that question posed to us as Christians. They fail to acknowledge that sin is the cause of all of man's problem, and God must judge sin. But our God has made a way for us by offering us salvation through faith in his Son, Christ Jesus. But we know mankind is stubborn and rebellious in their ways. They continue to ignore the fact that the wages of sin is death. But this need not be. Even though we cannot earn or merit God's goodness, yet he has compassion on all whom he created. Psalms 145, verse 9 tells us, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. The self-righteous would probably go on to say, why then does a good God not judge and punish all those who sin, so that there is no sin in the world, that sin is completely eradicated? I tell you, my brothers and sisters, a time will come when this will be so, but not yet. If that was done now, then there would be no one left on planet Earth. This is where we see the magnitude of God's goodness. For as a just and holy God, He has all right to send us to hell for the sins that we have committed. But God, in His goodness, He has given us in this present time a means of grace, having made a way for us by offering His only begotten Son as a sacrifice for all our sins. Jesus Christ paid the price by taking on all our sins, and His death at Calvary was the cost that God the Father accepted. Romans 5 verse 8 tells us, "But God commanded His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Psalms 145 verse 8 to 9, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Psalms 86, verse 5, "For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee." You know, there's a song we used to sing when I was going through the motion of attending church, and I only now understand its true meaning. It goes simpler like this: "When I think of the goodness of Jesus and what He has done for me, my soul cries out, Alleluia, thank God for saving me. This salvation is available to all, and there's no opportune time to accept God's gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ like now. We live in the now, for no one has yet seen tomorrow." There's a goodness that comes from God that goes beyond His providential goodness, which is reserved only for His children, for those who have a relationship with Him. When we take time in our walk with the Lord and reflect on His goodness towards us, when we consider not only the greatest gift or act that He could have ever done by saving us from the penalty of sin through His Son, Christ Jesus, we recognize that He is a God who cares, and that care is personal. We all use the expression, "God is good all the time." I know we all have. But we should probably add the lyrics of an old chorus to that expression: "God is so good, He's so good to me." We can all sing this song because He is good to each of us personally, in ways that meets our individual need. I think the Apostle James put it best in James 1 verse 17, where he tells us, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." We have all experienced God's goodness in so many ways. Remember the time you experienced confusion and doubt, and you prayed to the Lord asking Him for comfort and guidance? What a blessing it was when He revealed in His words the very roadmap that you needed for your life. His commandments and teaching gave you meaning and clarity on how to live a peaceful and productive life. His promise to us in Psalms 50 verse 15, and what a promise this is. It simply states, "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." What a comfort it is to know that we can call upon Him. God is right here, and yet still He is everywhere. He is just waiting for an invitation to step in and to make everything right. How about Him being a true friend? Not one that you can go to when you need $100 and you say, "I need $100. He's much a greater friend than that. is one who will convict you by revealing the truth to you when you sin. You may be unaware that you have veered off the path that he has laid out for you, but God has a way of correcting you by just simply tugging at your conscience. And your spirit is heavy and you become remorseful. God's desire is not to trounce on you, but to build your character and to bring your heart closer to his. God is the best friend you will ever have. Another of his promise can be found in Psalms 32, verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which you shall go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. How about when you were brokenhearted? Few people pass through life without feeling the sting of betrayal, the loss of friendship, or the failure of important relationship. Sometimes you might even wonder, if God still loves you, how could he have allowed this to happen to you? But God does love you, purely, simply, and unconditionally. Psalms 38, verse 34, verse 18 tells us, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Even if your pain is a result of your own action, God's love does not condemn. It simply urges you forward, calling you to forgive yourself, consoling you when the problem is of no fault of your own, giving you the assurance that his love comes hope. That hope results in you loving again, in you trusting again, in you opening up and offering your heart again. Psalms 73, verse 26. My heart and my flesh and my heart fail it, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. But what about when trouble comes and the cares of this world are so overwhelming, leaving you feeling desperate, alone, and hopeless? That is when God, as a good shepherd, guides you around obstacles that would block your path and through waters that threaten to overwhelm you. Psalms 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Sometimes we all know that God carries our burden, and most times he carries us and our burden. But through it all, we must remember that we are never alone. He is always with us, never leaving nor forsaking his own. God will always share your cares, reducing the weight of your load, clearing the path before you, and assuring you that you will one day reach your destination. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We should remember, however, that good things may not always show up as happy experiences. Sometimes good can be disguised as adversity or hardship. But God can use difficulties for good, as we have learned this evening, and as Romans 8, verse 28 tells us. And this is one of the verses that is very dear to me. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. There are many examples of the goodness of God in our lives that the constraint of time will not allow us to discuss them all. But remember that the purpose of God's goodness is to draw us to him, and he will sustain us. The goodness of God is the core of our Christian faith. By nature, he longs to bring joy and blessing to all his creatures. He offers us security and encouragement. We can depend on the unchanging goodness of God. For Psalms 52, verse 1 says, the goodness of God endures continually. God will always be good. His character does not change. He will continue to be the creator of all things good. And we can be confident He will provide good things for us according to His perfect plan. One can be assured that God's purpose for us is good. Just as parents want good for their children, our Heavenly Father wants only good for us. So let us proclaim all aspects of God's goodness and call people to salvation and repentance so that they will receive God's goodness and His mercy. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. And what a wonderful verse this is, and how reassuring. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The point is that we all live in a difficult world, and life is not easy. But the good news is that God is there for us in the hard times as well as in the good times. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and that friend is Jesus. He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And perhaps you feel you cannot call on the name of the Lord because you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If not, what better way to begin a new chapter in your life than by putting your faith in Jesus, who paid the price for our sins on the cross so that we can have restored relationship with our Heavenly Father and have eternal life. The Bible tells us that we have all sinned and come short of God's glory. But if we repent of our sins and put our trust in Jesus, accepting His atoning sacrifice for our sins, we put on His righteousness, and the Spirit of Christ comes to live in us. It could be, on the other hand, that you know the Lord, but you're not feeling close to Him right now because you feel you have failed Him in some way. And I have been in that position. But there is a verse in God's Word that encourages me and ought to encourage everyone. It is found in 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us thank the Lord for every blessing, especially our salvation. And let us call on His name, casting all our cares upon Him, and looking forward with great expectation to what is in store for us. With the Lord, we can exchange our weariness for His strength, our confusion for His wisdom, our fears for His courage. God's goodness comes into our lives when we are willing to follow Him. And there's no better time to seek God's goodness than now. Let us pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank You for Your bountiful grace. Allow our lives to be filled with Your goodness as You lead us into the life that You have planned for us. And when the storm clouds of life starts to gather, darkening our lives, Lord, help us to stand firm in faith in You, our living God, knowing that You're working everything out for our good. Grant us the fullness of faith and obedience to apply that which we have learned, so that Your will be done and Your kingdom come both in us and through us. Let us always be thankful to You, giving You the glory. We will always love You and praise You with all our hearts. Our most blessed God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's keep our heads.